As I was preparing this message this morning, I was in a quandary, sort of. What am I going to speak about? What is most important for me to have you folks hear today? Okay. Forget it. Anyhow, I settled upon the subject of love. Now, love is probably the most talked about, the most broad subject of anywhere in the scriptures. I found that it is in practically every book of the Bible. Not everyone. And I didn't check to find out why, but 2 Samuel doesn't have the word love in it. Anyhow, as I was going through my devotions, I came across the little passage in Mark chapter 12 that I think is probably a good place to start. Obviously, since love is such a broad topic, we're going to just touch a very small part of the subject. As you know, the Pharisees and Sadducees and other folks were trying to find something that they could hold against Jesus. They could arrest him and do away with this person that was causing so much trouble. Well, in Mark chapter 12, we come across one of the teachers that was in the area where they were doing some debating. And starting in verse 28, it says, "One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, 'Of all of the commandments, which is the most important?' 'The most important one,' answered Jesus, 'is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is like this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these.' 'Well said, teacher,' the man replied. You are right in saying that God is one. There is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is the most important and it better than all burnt offerings." This is only a small portion, obviously, of the subject of love. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love, the love that you give to us each and every day. Thank you for all that you do in providing for our needs, and thank you for being such a great God and loving us so much. That passage that Jesus quoted from is what in the Jewish community is called the Shema, and it comes from Deuteronomy and is almost word for word what Jesus said there. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength." This is something that is very dear to the heart of the Jewish community. Another verse, that passage that I've found that was quite interesting too, was in John, 1 John chapter 4. "Dear friends, let us love one another. The love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us so, we ought also to love one another. No one has seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and love is made complete in us. And finally, the area that really sums this up is what Paul wrote to us in Romans chapter 13. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other command there be, it is summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Now, in these three passages, you notice that several times, love your neighbor. And of course, if we look back and think of the parable of the Good Samaritan, it ended up that the Samaritan that helped the hurt man, he's the one that was the neighbor. He didn't understand who was the neighbor, so Jesus gave him that example. I think the one area that I would like to kind of concentrate on this morning is found in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. That is, I have seen written a number of times, the love chapter. And if you want a definition of love, I think that's rather difficult to come up with. The only definition of love that I know of is in John that we read, that says God is love. Well, I guess if you could define God, then you can define love. Or if you can define love, you can define God. But I think the thing that we find in 1 Corinthians 13 are examples, qualities, attributes of what love really is. And in that, we'll look at a couple of the attributes. We find a way of living our lives in the love that God wants us to have. Now, some of this obviously applies not only to neighbors, but to your spouse. We find that the whole chapter really, I guess in some ways, applies maybe more towards spouses, but it can be your neighbor, your friends, whoever you associate with, your relationships in general. Let's put it that way. And if with God's help, we diligently and honestly apply these attributes to our lives as we relate to other people, we're going to have the kind of relationships with other people that are the kind that God wants us to have, loving others. So as we look at the 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting in verse 1, if I speak in tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clashing cymbal. What an analogy that he puts there. That has always struck me. A clanging gong or a clashing cymbal? No, thank you. Anyway, continuing on at verse 2. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all the mysteries and knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Now here are the attributes that you need to think about as you try to understand what love is. Love is patient. Are you patient? Love is kind. Are you kind to one another? It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It is not easily angered, and it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. And finally, summing it up, love never fails. Now, there's a lot of sermon material in that one chapter, but I would like to just pick on a couple of them and see how they strike you. Patience is the first on the list. As I say, do you have patience? Have you ever prayed for patience and then maybe wished you hadn't? Or have you prayed what I have heard called the patience prayer? Lord, give me patience, but I want it right now. Yes, that I can see that may strike a chord with some of you. We do want patience, but we don't have the patience to wait for it. And I think sometimes God just kind of delays things. You've prayed for patience? Okay. We'll give you patience later. Webster defines it as the bearing of provocation, annoyance, misfortune, pain, etc., without complaint, loss of temper, irritation, or the like. Sometimes we put our mouth in gear before we engage our brain. That is not patient. We need to just wait. Don't open the mouth and start talking when maybe you need to wait just a little while. Patience is not one of those, or is one of those virtues that does not come easy to many people. I believe that most of us want to have patience, but few are willing really to wait for it. What we want when we want it. We don't want to wait. Yet patience is a most wonderful thing to have in any relationship. From a pure practical aspect, it is a whole lot easier on the nerves, because if you go and jump into something without the patience to maybe wait for it, it can do nothing but upset you. The poor nerves get out of whack, your stomach begins to churn, and if you had just waited a little longer, things may have turned out very different than you had thought they were. Patience is one of the fruit of the Spirit. If you remember in Galatians chapter 5, Paul lists the fruit of the Spirit. And he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So, I suggest that you consider being more patient. I need to talk to myself about that too. Because sometimes something is said and we instantly understand it and then find out that we really didn't know what was going on after all. If we'd have been patient and just listened to what the other person had to say, I might find that it's a whole lot different. Much easier. Another area that is talked about there is kindness. Paul says that kindness is one of those qualities which is not as common as it should be. Are you kind to one another? Maybe you see people around you being more kind to a total stranger than they are to maybe members of our family. One area that really pertains more to the marriage relationship, do you dump on your spouse as soon as you walk in the door in the evening? You've had a bad day, and you're growling about what happened to you, and the first thing you do is dump on your spouse. That's not very kind. I'm sure that if I look back over the many years that I worked for a living, well, anyway, so-called punch the clock, I'm sure there are times that I dumped on Bev as soon as I got home. And if I'd had some patience and just waited a while, or said, hey, how was your day? Instead of saying, boy, you ought to hear what happened to me today. Well, kindness is one of those things that we really need to be careful of and maybe not dump on our spouse. Are you considerate to the feelings of other people? Do you communicate by listening instead of immediately maybe even interrupting and giving your opinion? Again, that's not very kind. And yet kindness is one of the real attributes of love. One thing that I have a problem with, I have a relative or two in my family that just loves to finish my sentences. Have you ever had anybody do that to you? You're starting to say something, and you're about halfway through the sentence, and the other person interjects and finishes a sentence for you. That's enough to make the blood boil a little bit. And that, the problem that I find with it is many times that wasn't what I was going to say. You did not listen to me. So I feel he wasn't being kind to me, right? In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as in Christ God forgave you." So be kind and compassionate to one another. One other area that is in that section of 1 Corinthians is truth. Are you truthful in all that you say, or is it just a kind of a half-truth? If you are not truthful in everything you say, that can really wreck a relationship. You know when you've been truthful and not given a half-truth. Can your spouse or your friend believe everything you say and know that it's absolutely true? Think about it. There is no such a thing really as a partial truth. You either are telling the truth or you're lying. Not good. Not good. People need to depend on you, that if you say something, they need to know that it is the absolute truth, that you're not kind of bending the truth a little bit and putting a twist. No, no, it's got to be such that they believe that you are giving them the absolute truth. No half-truths about it. And then the area kind of related to truth is the area of vows. You know, you promise to do something. Do you end up doing it? Do you really end up doing exactly what you had said? Or do you forget it? Renege on it? He'll understand. He'll understand why I didn't do that. But your word has to be such that they know you will come through and you will promise. You won't promise something that you don't intend to do. I think that I'm kind of thinking about the area of children. Oh yeah, I promise I'll play ball with you this evening as soon as I get home from work. Well, did you? Or did you come home from work and jump into something else? Just an example. I think many times we end up promising things that is going to be very difficult for us to really do. I'm reminded too of times that, well, thinking about television. We watch a lot of programs, and many times we'll see somebody say, "Yeah, I promise that I will, or we'll find him." No, wrong words. "I will do my best." That's what you promise. "I promise to do my best to do X." And I see many times that's not the way it comes across in the show that we're watching. Well, the whole thing of love is a complex subject. And yet we know that God loves us. And as was said there in the in that passage in Mark, that we must love others as ourselves. Now that particular phrase, that could get us off on a rabbit trail real quick. Because what do you mean, love yourselves, or love God as yourself? Do you love yourself? I don't think he's talking about self-love. That's something that a lot of times get people into trouble, because they're more inclined to love themselves than they are to love others. And it says that we're to love ourselves as, or to love God, I'm sorry, love God as we love ourselves. So if you don't really love yourself very much, how can you really love God? It, as I say, that's a whole nother rabbit trail. We're not going that direction at this time. Well, the whole idea of love is a great subject. We throw the word love around very loosely, and yet we need to be careful how we use it, how it affects our lives, and what we do with the love. If you want a good relationship, a good marriage, love. Love according to the qualities given to us in 1 Corinthians 13. Let's pray. Father, as we look at this subject of love, we ask, Lord, that you would instill within each one of us the ability to love others, to love them the way you want us to love them, that our relationships might be according to your will for our lives. Thank you for this time. Bless it. Thank you that you do love us, and we commit the rest of the day to you in Christ's name. Amen. Jude is an interesting book. For the last part of it, I really like it because it's a good doxology. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault with great joy, to the only God and Savior be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages and now forevermore. Amen.